You know, it's there is okay. So for some reason, and I was saying this before, but it's weird. Like once or twice a year, I get an old Modest Mouse song stuck in my head, and it's in my head for, you know, a couple days, a few days. Whether it's Dramamine or Talking Shit about Pretty Sunset or Ohio, for some reason that song gets stuck in my head a lot. And but again, like not by a lot, I mean like once or twice a year, right? But for some reason last week this song was in my head and I couldn't get it out. I gotta wake up in the morning and it'd be in my head. And I didn't hear it anywhere. And I didn't go on a trip or anything. And I'm not. I've never taken Dramamine in my life. I don't get seasick.
You come back to
like, what else do you take? Carsick or whatever. So it has something to do with songs or media, maybe, that changed you when you were young. Nowadays, you have to say media because, I mean, there's so much shit out there. But, you know, back in the day, it was music, right? Like, that was pretty much it. Music and film. And, I don't know. For me, this... I was introduced to this freshman in high school.
Yeah, me too.
My good friend's older sister, actually. He was like 3 years older. And, you know, at that time, there was nothing like that. Like, this is weird shit for back then. Like, back then, late 90s, well, early depends. 2000s, or, yeah, well, when this came out, this is early mid 90s.
This is classic Pacific Northwest. I got introduced to it to my friend Josh. Rest in peace. A couple of my friends, Josh, passed away, but this is the one that I was friends with in high school. He was only there for a little bit, and we became really close. And he had family in Seattle. He's originally from Alaska, and he had family in Seattle. And he was like, he just came back from a trip to Seattle. And this is like the whole, like, vacuum, like, feel of Nirvana's gone. You know, that was our fucking, that was our rock god for the generation before us and our generation. He's gone. He's
right,
dead.
Yeah, 94.
And he's like, he came back with a fucking cassette. Oof. And he was like, check this fucking out. I saw this band live.
Really?
Yeah. He was hardcore into the scene. This guy taught me a lot about music. And he's like, check this band out. I'm like, what? Modest Mouse? This sounds fucking
stupid. Yeah, it sounds retarded. Stupid. Yeah, it sounds, you know, ridiculous.
I mean? So I played it and it fucking blew me away. I was fucking moved, dude. Like, this literally, it made me express myself more. I felt angry. Mm-hmm. I felt happy.
Yeah.
I felt aggressive.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's something you can fucking self-meditate to. You know what I mean?
It's weird. It wasn't like they're not even really singing. It's, they are.
The album eventually got into was The Lonesome Crowded West. Mm-hmm. That was like their biggest album. Yeah. Everyone loved that album.
Oh, yeah.
But this song, Dramamine, mm-hmm. like my friend Chris, the one that I've had all the concert experiences with, you know, Dredge, Green American Music Hall. I love his music and he loves my music and we share. And he's like, every time I hear this song, it just is literally just defines what I think of you. And when you think about it, it's like, for some reason, Modest Mouse is one of those bands you always come back to. You always come back to them because they're so poignant in your life. You know, they literally define the most dramatic parts, the angry parts. You know what I mean? The expressive things.
It is, they legitimized teenage angst. I mean, okay, exactly.
Post-punk
and post-Nirvana, right? So, and that's the other thing. Like, I got into Modest Mouse after I got into punk and. Or it was around the same time, right? But
well, you, punk you genuinely started really appreciating
early.
Real
punk
music.
Comes early. Punk comes like you're 11 or 12 because you're just like, yeah, fuck this.
Maybe a little earlier, you know? For me, but my brother was in the punk.
Yeah, and the same thing, right? So Misfits was Misfits and Bad Religion were the two for me, at least. And that was, that fucking blew my mind, man. Like, I remember my cousin John gave me a copy of a mixed Misfits CD that somebody else made for him. And, you know, first song is Last Caress. Second song is like Die, 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 My Darling. And, you know, I was 12 years old and shit fucked me up, man. Like, I was just like, holy shit, because that's...
Nobody sings like Glenn Danzig.
Well, so Glenn... And I always loved, like, Sinatra. I was a weird kid. So Sinatra and Elvis, right, were... the shit, and then Jim Morrison where the Doors had similar aspects to that. But Glenn Danzig sort of takes that and just fucking
perverts it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perverts it, and but like in a really smart, eloquently and sadistic dark way. Yeah, super dark.
I mean, the fucking
but
lyrics.
Very poetic. The yeah, no, exactly. Fucking, it's not, they're not.
The whole, the image. He created, yeah. He literally created a genre of his own. You know, the devil lock, the black, buff, pale, vampiric.
He was buff for like a little dude. Oh, like, yeah,
no, that guy literally looks like a hairless Wolverine.
He's insane. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that bass and that voice and that ability to scream, but also keep the melody and catchy fucking songs.
It wouldn't be surprised. You know? I wouldn't be surprised if he can sing opera. I mean, he can reach levels that nobody can.
Yeah. And that's another band that if you know if they were playing
take
or
a shot.
If
should we do that
song. I got to calm down a little because that song.
Yeah. No. That'll happen.
Song.
That'll happen.
Literally, just right it.
Isaac Jeremiah.
It gets into you.
Tom, Jim.
I poured you one.
It's a perfect song coming from a rough band.
Dramamine? Yeah. Dramamine, first album? Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Are we, we're live streaming.
What is this?
She's live streaming on Facebook.
It's Fernet.
No, I know what this is. All right. I guess we're recording.
Apparently, we're live streaming and shooting.
And we're live streaming.
Cheers, guys.
This is a vlog now. That's okay.
So, I mean.
Right. But at this time. Okay, well, like, at least like when I got into it, like late 90s, early 2000s, and this album was already 5 years old at that, or 6 years, at least at that time. Even at that point, even 5-6 years later after this album came out, there was very few things that sounded like
nothing.
That. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, I mean, Built to Spill, kind of, you know, and then, you know, you sort
Spoon.
Of get...
Well, they all come from the same place.
You get into other things, and then TV at the Radio and at the Drive-In, but that's a little more heavy.
That's a little more poppy, too. Yeah. That's
But
I mean, hardcore, I mean, I don't take anything still, away from the hardcore Texas legit. Scene. That shit's real.
But this was just weird. Like, he didn't have a great voice.
He has a lisp. You know he has a lisp.
And it's very whiny, but it's not annoying at all.
So lead singer, Isaac Brock.
Right.
Very interesting dude. Drunk. You know, he's been around, you know, like the Pacific Northwest music scene. Dreary. You can hear it in the fucking music. I'm sure he's been around heroin, you know, a lot of alcohol, drug use, dramamine, like the song says. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Traveling.
I actually met that guy at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, Modest Mouse, headlining. Went to this show. With a bunch of coworkers.
I've never seen them.
Ran into a bunch of other people from work. And there's like these douchey chicks. And I'm standing in line for the bathroom on the subterranean level of the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium just before Modest Mouse goes on. And I'm in line, and Modest Mouse, or Isaac Brock, is in line at the bathroom with his girlfriend. He's in line for the bathroom.
He
doesn't drinking.
Have his own bathroom?
He's drinking, and he's kind of, I think he's smoking cigarettes indoors, if I remember correctly. And so I'm waiting in line, I'm like, oh shit, Isaac Brock. He's like, hey, what's up? And he has a fucking lisp. Like, literally a speech impediment. And then the girl standing to his side, she's very quiet. And then he was like, hey, enjoy, dude, I'm enjoying the show so far. I can't wait till you come on stage. He's like, yeah, it's going to be a great show. I think you know, I'm feeling really good tonight. I'm like, cool, man. So I go take a piss. And I come back out, and the two girls that are waiting for me outside the bathroom, like, did you see Isaac Brock's girlfriend? She is so stuck up. She's like, she didn't even say anything. A typical female reaction. And I'm still like in awe that I met Isaac Brock. I mean, he's a totally approachable guy. And then he goes on stage and just fucking kills it. Like, I've never seen someone play the guitar so fast, so strong, and so high. He literally plays a song above his belly and just fucking, like, he's tearing it up. Yeah. That's crazy. They got two drummers facing each other on stage. Oh, dude, that was one of the greatest shows.
Eric Judy playing bass. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah. that's I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. But that's the thing, like it's I hope kids listen to that shit. I mean, I don't know, maybe there's stuff like that now.
There is.
I know Modest Mouse obviously is still around, but like they're obviously not angsty and 19 anymore.
No,
so
they've changed. They're softened up their sound
songs.
A bit.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It comes with age. I mean, you know, it happens.
That
to
at that time, at least for me, was I don't know. It was huge. It was
it hit the note.
It did, and it wasn't just screaming, and it wasn't just like angsty and pissed off.
There was melody. There was,
which I appreciated, but yeah, it was more nuanced and more emotional, and that was before like emo.
There were
like
albums.
A thing,
it was
right?
an art piece. You can hear front to back everything.
Yeah,
a lot of their albums were perfect. Perfect.
I mean,
albums.
Those the first few really. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a bad song.
Building Something Out of Nothing, another great album. Yeah. Lonesome Crowd of Rest, yeah. my favorite album of theirs. This is a long drive for someone, nothing to think about. Yeah. Sad Sappy Sucker.
I want to listen to. I guess we should kind of keep it going and. Which I don't know the same album, but
I've seen Modest Mouse play.
I feel like we should give them
first
something.
Annual Treasure Island Music Festival.
Ooh,
first annual?
Oh yeah. I went to
what
the first
year was
one.
That?
This annual. That's rare.
Less than a decade.
It's definitely fallen off. It's definitely fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
Since
so I went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah
who,
they don't have Modest Mouse. Anymore.
You know who was touring with Modest Mouse as their guitarist? Johnny Marr from fucking The Smiths. The Smiths.
So you
the
were
greatest,
there.
The Smiths,
there,
the greatest
yeah.
band for me yeah. ever to have ever
you
fucking
you were there the night before camping
ooh.
Out. Yeah.
No. I just went. It was chill. You know, I was like totally relaxed at this time. I must have been like Zen Buddhist mode. And I was like excited. And like Johnny Marr is like, yes, Johnny Marr. Is The Smiths one of the greatest bands ever for me. And he's the guitarist for The Smiths.
Is that not
and
the
he's
greatest
touring.
Band? Okay, for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, for me.
For you, right.
The greatest
yeah,
band
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's touring with Modest Mouse. And they do a studio album together. And Good News for People Who Love Bad News.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the album, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing, and they play fucking How Soon Is Now, like the biggest hit for the Smiths. And I'm it starts raining.
They played it.
They played it.
Did they pull it off?
Oh, they pulled it
yeah,
off.
They did.
Yeah, it was a 10
yeah,
minute. It was a 10 minute song.
Yeah,
they pulled it off.
That song raised.
I was so happy. I was like, so I'm like, I was looking around. I was like, do you guys know what you're seeing right now? Fucking Johnny Marr is backing up and fronting. on guitar
yeah, yeah.
for fucking Isaac Brock singing How Soon Is Now. It's like worlds colliding and fucking sparks flying and the rain
Jesus
is falling.
Christ.
I was in heaven. I was drunk. I was like, yeah, I'm making out with some random chick. It was fucking great.
So, on an island. It peaked year one. You're telling me it peaked year one. Because I don't remember a better show than that. I can't remember a show on Treasure Island Music Festival.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no.
That topped that.
I went to two of them. I don't remember that. Yeah, it must have peaked because I don't remember what it was after the fact. But I'm glad you played that, man.
Because
people
you know,
need to listen to their first like six
yeah.
studio albums.
And they had two albums. I'm pretty sure there was two in the year 2000. It was
Good News, People Love Bad News. No.
That's the original. Well, that's
Building Something Out of Nothing.
Right, Building Something Out of Nothing, and The Moon and Antarctica.
The Moon
I'm
and Antarctica.
Pretty sure
yeah,
those are both
yeah.
2000. And The Moon in Antarctica has this song, I Came as a Rat.
Yeah.
Which was always one of my favorites. And we're going to play it right now.
Well, I ain't sure, but I've been told it's baking cakes inside our souls. Stayed away, took a nap, got myself my bottles back. I'm breaking them out on the street, walking around my own bare feet. I do not need you to tell me that I'm not a cat. I caught a ride, he caught some air. He's never gonna cut his hair. It takes more time to make a fake. We now swam down in the lake and washed the dirt off our intentions, prattling on about bad inventions.
I came as ice, I came as a whore, I came as advice that came too short. I came as gold, I came as crap, I came clean and I came as a rat. It takes a long time, but God dies too, but not before, he'll stick to you.
What is this? Like, what is this song? What is this song?
It's perfection.
Like, this, yeah.
There's okay. no definition for it.
I don't know, but I've been told you'll never die and you never grow old.
On the show, it's crazy. A lot of you don't know this. Okay, Eraserhead.
Yeah,
Modest Mouse sampled Eraserhead.
How? What do you mean? What do you mean?
If I can remember the track, I always forget the track.
What track?
He goes, how does it go? That song that the girl sings, the pie-faced woman in the movie?
But, I mean, what album? What, like...
I'm looking for it right now. It's crazy, but... We have fucking...
XRs.
We have XRs jamming out to Modest Mouse right now. Oh, working on Leaving to Livin'.
30 milligram XR, yes.
That's
right
a
here.
A little bit later on.
It's on building something out of nothing.
No, it is. You're right.
Working on Leaving to Living.
It's been a while. That, I apologize. Yeah.
So, won't you fade out of that and skip onto that track? Because I don't know if XR knows who David Lynch is. You are a film major.
She knows who David Lynch is.
So David Lynch,
a goddamn, more or less a filmmaker.
David Lynch's college film. Right out of college?
David Lynch is millennial material.
If millennials knew what the fuck they were doing.
Okay. Maybe. Turn it up, because it starts off so eerie.
Okay, That's fair.
None of them are. I'm saying.
That's fair.
I'm working on living, I'm working on living, I'm working on living.
just said millennials are pussies.
Yeah, and I want to agree with that, except
and
for
then
the
he
safe
said
rooms
they're doing podcasts. I knew it, and I said we don't have time for that bullshit.
We don't have time for that bullshit.
He's such a millennial. Get off the
I
phone.
Hate him. I hate him. You know
what?
I'm just gonna put my phone down.
The fact that
that
guy responded
that
soon, and I just clipped it. I'm sorry.
You
the
know
fact
what?
That guy responded that soon means that he's probably a millennial too, and he's
we're
one
all
of the
millennials.
Self-hating millennials.
Yeah, you
which
know
I
what?
Guess
he's,
we all
he's just
but,
an active millennial.
Okay.
Back to the music.
Let's okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to preface the fact. And or antecede the fact that
okay.
In right, analog all right. era,
all right.
Connotes
I'm gonna
non-millennial when you don't remember a time
you
before.
Just let it go.
I can't.
You let it go.
I'm
it's
trying
over.
To set the stage for the rest of this.
Okay,
podcast.
I
want to
talk about
okay.
David Lynch.
I just
and
want
a Smouse connection.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's it. Let me just. We were talking about this before you interrupted.
No, and you're right. I'm sorry. I you know, and especially when it comes to David Lynch, I don't want to cut you off short at all, and or any sort of music because he doesn't have any kind of background music or anything
except
like that.
Except Eraserhead.
No, but we are going
to
listen
to this.
Working.
Turn this front. Turn this intro up.
On Leaving the Living.
This is the sample directly from Eraserhead. David Lynch's college film. So, David Lynch, an amazing director. Okay. So, a lot of people, you've seen Eraserhead. You're, like, you majored in film, yeah? No. You studied film.
No.
The business of film.
I studied film for one semester, and then I decided to change my major to business.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because that's
but you can appreciate David Lynch. David Lynch, as a college student, created this film called Eraserhead.
Mm. No, well, he created a few shorts before that.
Yeah,
but
his
that was
full,
his first
feature-length,
full length.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm gonna play it on here because you won't have
what are
it
you
over
play?
There. This is Eraserhead's the sample of what Modest Mouse took from.
That's not going to come through.
It's going to go through. It's going to go through because I say it goes through.
In heaven, everything is fine. In heaven, everything is fine. In heaven.
So Isaac Brock puts that in his fucking 2000 album. So, I mean, that gets directly sampled in the intro to that song. And when that came to me, because I knew Eraserhead. I've seen it. It's freaked me out. It's fucked up my life, essentially. It took a little piece of my soul. And then this comes out, what, 2000? This album? And I hear it, and that just, I mean, for me, fucking Modest Mouse graduated.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you've become... like just
you're completely legitimate.
Yeah, totally legitimate. Yeah. And you're like a living art piece. I mean that's just
I can't argue that. Nobody can argue that.
I just wanted to get that out. that's the one thing I wanted to get out.
That's good.
You wanted to segue into something else. Go ahead.
No, not necessarily, but I mean so basically what I was thinking is there are a lot of there are different eras in our lives, right? There are different eras in our lives that define who we are. And I think, at least for me, and probably for a lot of people, it was completely dependent on what music you were listening to. And so, you know, when you're a really young kid, it's whatever your older siblings or your older cousins or whoever older than you is listening to. And you listen to that, right? Like, I listened to a lot of Metallica when I was really young.
Of course.
Like, you know, 6 or 7 years old, my cousin Matt listened to a lot of that. Alice in Chains, sure. Megadeth. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And,
yeah.
Well, of course, Dave Mustaine was originally in Metallica, but that's, you know, that's another story.
But I always call him Chad Mustaine. Anyways, okay.
Chad Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine. Got it.
He kind of looks like a Chad. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But you know what I mean. Like, so
yeah.
Every stage in your life, music informs it. And you have a different sort of it creates a different era, so to speak, in your life. So when you listen to a certain song, even if it didn't come from that era, but if you discovered it in that era, that's where it takes you back. Music is a time machine. Music as a time machine. And I think that that's completely true. And that's probably why you laugh and make fun of me, because I can't, there's certain songs that, yeah, I can't play.
You can't touch it.
It's not that I can't, it's just that I can't.
You expose your vulnerability.
I have to be in a certain state.
Yeah.
And I have to be around certain people.
In the car with me. In our next podcast, The Drive Home. When it's out of the public eye, you can touch that.
You can touch that nerve.
It's a nerve.
Okay, so
it's touching a nerve.
When I was really young, it was jazz, and it was early rap. Right, I remember buying LL Cool J. Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah,
That tape. I bought that tape, or my parents bought it for me with some allowance that they gave me or some shit. I don't fucking know, but whatever. I bought that tape. But Criss Cross, of course, because, it's the early 90s, right? And I had an older sister, so she probably informed a lot of those decisions. But at the same time, that's what I was listening to. But you grow up, and then a little bit later, it's punk, right? Middle school, punk. I mean, fucking punk, man. Wearing Dickies every day, black t-shirt. I mean, that was pretty much my uniform for like 8 years, through my senior year of high school. But... and then in between there, you get a little bit more nuanced, and you get some Modest Mouse, and you get a little bit more emotional, right? You become a teenager, and you start appreciating things that have a little bit more depth, right?
Yeah. You're not afraid to feel, express yourself.
Well, you don't have a choice when you're going through 15, 16, 17, right? Yeah, you're getting your heart ripped apart. You're getting it fucking stomped on, and or maybe you're doing it to somebody else, and you don't even notice.
Yeah,
and that's another crazy thing, right? Because then maybe later on you find that out.
You think back on whatever.
But and then you grow up, you move out, you have another era, right? And then so at least for me, that was more like classic. So Neil Young, Zeppelin, The Doors, and then. Before that, you get into what you would consider roots music, which is what informed all music, which is, early blues, folk, from Lead Belly to Robert Johnson to Sunhouse to Howlin' Wolf, Bo Diddley and Albert King and B.B. King. The
list is endless.
The list is endless. And that's... could probably have an entire show based on that, but
we will.
I'm curious as to, without being too cynical, I'm sure that kids nowadays are still seeking old stuff out. They hear one thing, it affects them, they think, oh, who affected them? They look at them, who affected them? They go back deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a rabbit hole, essentially. Yeah, exactly. That's what we've all done. And nowadays, there's way more of an ability to do that because you have streaming media. You have everything at your fingertips. And we were talking earlier off air about Napster, right? And about, sort of the how that was more or less the segue into what we all now do, which is stream media. Stream music, movies, TV, whatever the fuck. And, I don't know. I mean, is it a bad thing? I mean, nowadays we all pay for it. 15 years ago we didn't. But, I'll say we all probably don't do.
Every stream, the artists get a fraction of a penny, but they don't get... I mean, they say the number one way of supporting the artist is going to their show.
I know. Live. Yeah, well, that's true. And that's the thing. And that's what I was hoping to glean some sort of... ideas or knowledge out of our somewhat resident millennial and or our pure resident millennial, if we ourselves are in fact millennials. But I think we debunked that earlier. But is it okay? Do you have to feel guilty? You should. Look, I mean, stealing is stealing.
Stealing is stealing. I stream. Stealing. I pay a monthly fee to iTunes Music, which is like the poppiest version of streaming.
To a similar streaming service that most people out there are probably using as well. And, you know, is it okay? I don't know. It seems okay. You're paying money.
I mean,
money,
how much live music do you see a year?
A good amount. I mean,
I see one. Know, I try to one see a month. One show a week. If not a little bit more. Yeah.
Who'd you see this week?
Nothing yet. No, that, well, I have till tomorrow.
Exactly. There's no way. Like
there's
I have never.
Well,
it's
tonight
not like there's and we live in
we,
one of the
yeah, but
one
we,
of the
we're going down. We could go
country.
Down the road and see a live punk band like we did last time.
Well, yeah, we did that last week, but you know that's. They're not. They probably have some SoundCloud page or something. It's not like they're making money doing what they do. That's a middle-aged punk band, which I appreciated, and that was great.
Yeah.
And you know, it got my juices going a little bit. I wanted to.
Yeah, but they get paid to be there.
That was the first punk show I've been to in a long time. That was fucking awesome. Yeah, they get paid, but
so
they
I think
mainly
tonight
get
we're going
paid
back
in,
and we're
going
to check out.
No, but
live
those
music.
Those dudes mainly get paid in beer, and maybe they get like 50. Maybe $100 each.
Maybe.
But they're not really getting paid. You know what I mean? Like, that's not... look, if they're all getting $100 each, that's pretty good. But the fact is they're probably not. And it's not like they have a gig every night, you know?
It's for those guys, it's probably like
a Wednesday night.
You know? I don't know. They could be road dogs. You know, I don't...
The band we saw before, I think, was. But the band, that exact punk band that
they're
we
locals
saw, had
or
like
something.
A Christmas theme, yeah. They were quasi-locals.
So what we did, good. We went to this bar up the street from my house. And they have like a really small, like 1 foot off the ground stage. And enough room for like two guitarists, the drummer, and lead singer. Very tight quarters. Grimy bar. It's been there for the longest time. And they play music. Oh, they have live music like once or twice a week. On the stage are these 45-year-old, 50-year-old...
At least.
Dudes dressed up as Christian soldiers.
Right.
And they're like a faux Christian rock band.
Or like Roman band. Soldiers. Like Centurion.
Yeah, they're like...
Kind of...
Like spin-off of Templars or something.
Yeah.
And they were on
good,
stage...
It was a good show.
Dressed up in these costumes.
Played
it was
hardcore
a punk band.
Hardcore punk.
It was a hardcore punk band.
Yeah.
And the dude had a lisp himself. Mm-hmm. I love singers with lisps. I don't know what it is, but it gets me
every
time.
He had gray in his hair.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the drummer broke a head during the show. Like, it was rowdy. It was good.
And they talk about, like,
reading
the Bible and, like, Psalms and shit. Whatever the fuck is in the Bible. I have no idea. Like, a resident millennial took a break, and now she's back.
Oh,
I just farted. Anyways, so we're talking about... What were we talking about? Oh, the justification of streaming music or supporting the artist.
You know, because in a lot of ways that is punk, right?
It is.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Punk is very...
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Give me music. Fuck you. Give me music.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, you know? So our resident millennial wrote some sort of thesis on Napster, and we are trying to dissect the intricacies and morality and or lack thereof of Napster and or streaming services. But you know, back then they were all free, and I had Napster. I was like 15 years old. I don't know. I didn't give a fuck. But back then we didn't have high speed internet. I remember waking up. It was sophomore, junior year in high school. I remember downloading a Ramones album.
Yeah.
I started downloading it, and I went to school, and I came back, and it was done. But it literally took, like, 8 hours to download this entire album.
Of course, yeah.
But it was a huge deal. I mean, you know, because it was hard for me to get Ramones albums back then in the suburbs, you know? I don't know. You couldn't just go to Sam Goody. I mean, maybe you could have, but you would get,
oh,
like,
I spent my life
you would
at
get
Amoeba
a,
and
you would get
a
Greatest Hits. Yeah, see, you grew up in the city. I didn't have an Amoeba I grew up. I didn't have a fucking Rasputin. I had The Warehouse, and I had Sam Goody. And then I had CD World, but that place
listening
was like really cool. It was
remember
way
when
too
they
cool.
introduced listening booths? You're like, what the fuck? I can listen to this
dude,
shit,
dude. So there was Blockbuster Music. This is probably gonna date me, but there was Blockbuster Music. Does anybody remember this? I hope you do. Blockbuster Music. You could just it was kind of like Virgin. You remember Virgin had So they had like a, I don't know, 20 or 30
headphone
stations.
Yeah.
And you couldn't pick, right? But it would just be like whatever was up there. But Blockbuster Music, you could pick. You'd be like, oh, hey, I want to listen to this. Like, I don't know if I want to buy it. And they would open it and they would fucking play it for it. And like, they would give you headphones and they would let you listen to it. That shit was legit. I never bought anything because I was like a child. But, I don't know. Kind of miss that.
I remember, Virgin. That doesn't exist anymore, there used to be downtown, literally like half a block away from where we worked, there was a Virgin record store on the corner.
Yeah,
I
remember that. I remember when it closed down. Yeah.
They have live shows there.
Forever 21. Yeah.
I saw two, if I remember correctly, two bands. Sondre and Lerche. I don't know if you remember that guy.
I don't know.
He had like one hit. Sondre Lerche. Some weird guy.
What is this? Does that mean something?
I don't know. It was his name.
It's a pretty cool name.
It was one dude. It was like some weird little guy who wears a suit all the time. Kind of emaciated. Big head. Anyways. Great show. Great show. He had a great show. And I saw Glassjaw.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That was weird.
The same day?
No. These are two separate occasions. Right. But no, like, they would have, like, in-store.
It's a way different crowd.
Yeah. And Amoeba, too. Once a week, twice a week,
Well,
maybe?
Amoeba, yeah.
They
sure.
have in-store shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've been to those. But that's intense. I never went to a Virgin show.
Did I see Cat Power there? I don't remember. vaguely remember that shit.
I had a friend that saw the Congos at the LA Amoeba, and I was really jealous about that.
Congos.
Congos is a reggae band, dub, or no, it's not dub. It's Lee Scratch Perry used to produce their album.
Okay.
They had like a couple. I mean, they're still around, so I guess they've had more than a few. But Heart of the Congos.
No, that, couldn't tell you.
I feel like we should probably go there because it's very different.
Heart of the Congos?
Heart of the Congos is one of my favorite, not even necessarily just reggae albums, but...
Where are they from? U.S.?
Jamaica. Jamaica, man.
Jamaica?
Yeah.
The real dub.
Well, reggae. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't know, I'm not up on my reggae / dub.
Do you know who are? English people.
Well.
The 70s.
punk. The English era. Beat? Are you talking about?
Oh, God.
No, but okay.
Yeah.
So
I've seen the English beat live.
Heart of the Congos was produced by Lee Scratch Perry.
You want to play some for me?
Sure. Yeah. Let's listen to Open Up the Gates. That's like, I think, one of the greatest songs ever.
To like Ja? But he was like, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, this isn't me talking, this is my friend. He's like, I smoke weed to it for most of my life, and I'm into it, and I look back on it, it's like, shit, all that sounds the same. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a genre, like, you know what I mean?
That's okay. It's like the blues. All the blues is 4 or 8 bars.
Yeah,
it's all more or less the same.
Same tone, inflection.
Yeah, you're going to do AED, you're going to do CGE, whatever. You're going to do more or less the same thing, but it's how you change it. It's how you make it your own.
Exactly.
That's what makes it. And in this album, at least, with, of course, Lee Scratch producing it, you know, and you can hear, like, right there, they cut that snare out, right? Or he does. And it's he's orchestrating this pre-recorded music, and it's fucking brilliant, man. And you don't have to be stoned to listen to this shit. Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, it's
if,
good, yeah.
If you are, it's going to enhance it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is incredible. Yeah, it, but I don't know. I'm sorry, I have a soft spot for this.
Yeah, no,
and I just want to listen to it.
It's beautiful.
Funny, I didn't think we were gonna somehow get into it.
And that's what I mean, that's the whole point of this show is. That's what I think it is. It's about the influence music's had on you and what you do with it and where you go with it.
Yeah.
You know, you go off on tangents, you fall in love, you get your heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it does. It affects and informs your entire existence.
It's the soundtrack to different parts of your life, you know, in every part of your life, you're a different person.
It's true, and that's what we were talking about earlier, is music as a time machine, right? There are some things you listen to, and it takes you right back to that thought, that feeling, that place in the world that you were at that time. And it's sometimes it might be hard, or it might be, you know, somewhat difficult for you to listen to something that that really affected you at a time, and I know you like to make fun of me because of that, but
I don't make fun of you. I actually vibe off of it, because seeing that, sometimes you think when you're feeling something, you think you're the only one, when you can connect the dots, feel that emotion, ride that wave, and then I see it in you, and I trust your opinion, I value your opinion, and I'm like, oh dude, this guy is on the same fucking hype. And yeah, no, it does, it's overpowering. I mean, the people say it all the time, the power of music,
it
defines and it moves you.
It's hard to define, but it's true. It's much more emotional than we're looking back. Yeah, we're
our millennials
resident.
Is taking a break from Fernet and beer.
You gotta cut that sink out.
Turbo.
Cut that sink off. What are you doing? No sink. No sinks allowed. Our resident millennial is taking a bit of a siesta back in the kitchen.
Are you recording? Yeah.
Oh hell yeah.
I think
this is like a mini vacation for our student millennial. As I don't think she drinks as much as maybe she has been tonight.
Absolutely not.
She just said absolutely not.
When you ask me to go out, what do I do?
Drink.
No, she doesn't. She says no.
What do I say?
No.
More.
All right. Get back. Okay. So.
And then when you ask me a second time, are you sure? What do I say?
Yeah.
No.
I say fuck no every
time. Say no to what?
Look, get back over to the mic so I don't have to completely edit all this shit out. You're creating way more work for me.
We were listening to some reggae over here.
Okay, I'm back.
She's back. Ooh. And she's back with a vengeance.
XR is back.
Ooh. So you're wearing a black hat with applauding hands. Is that
music related?
It seems like it is music related.
Okay, but. So the hat I'm wearing is what you would call a dad hat, and on the dad hat is a white. It's embroidered with a white symbol.
Outlined in white, yeah.
It's outlined in white. Mom and dad, or yeah, doesn't have to be mom and dad. but it's praying hand symbols.
It looks like praying hands, okay.
Yeah, praying hands.
From an angle, from a three-quarter angle. And
you're praying the jaw?
What is the significance of praying to jaw? That would be relevant, actually.
It would be Drake.
Ooh. that came to a screeching halt. How you feel, buddy? You getting drunk there?
I'm pretty buzzed.
Buzzed? Yeah. Good.
Indeed.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Drake? Can we talk about Drake a little bit?
Can we? I don't know. I can't. Hey, I don't know
He's made some hits. I mean, I can dance to his music. I can listen to it. I can chill to it. But he's just auto-tuned the fuck out. And he's like... essentially what people say.
He's not as auto-tuned as some people.
But, I mean, he's hit all the major points in hip-hop. He's been in battles.
Yeah. Oh, has he? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, him and Meek Mill?
Oh, Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like...
Yeah,
you know,
they've gone head-to-head.
I kind of like Meek Mill.
Not face-to-face.
Is that okay to say? I don't know.
I don't know.
I used to like him before he got beat by Drake.
Yeah.
I mean, beat like...
Well, he got shut up, but Meek Mill hasn't had a response since he put out that line saying you've been bodied by a singing nigga. Yeah. You can say it. I'm not going to say
right.
it.
That's right.
Oof. All right, well.
Meek Mill got bodied by a singing nigga, and...
he shut him up. He didn't have a response to that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Drake, I mean, he's just...
I mean...
He's Canadian, and
yeah,
like
right,
I said, we're
right.
going to go back into the low spark.
Does Meek's, not agree Meek's with from, most Canadians. Meek's from, like, Philly, right? Like, I don't know. How do you get beat by a Canadian?
I don't know. I guess he isn't clever enough.
He is, yeah.
Can we find that? Like, I kind of want to hear that. I don't know what that...
I couldn't tell you.
You can't?
Not off the top of my head.
What's the track?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But she knows.
She's not in the right frame of mind. She's like,
what's the track? What's the track?
We don't know.
She's just shaking her head.
Yeah.
She's
how about,
conceding to Meek Mill's prominence, apparently.
How about we...
she's wearing a Drake hat.
We wrap it up?
Well, I mean, okay, so basically, I thought we were going to go more toward music, how it changed you. But, you know, I guess it has been...
I feel like we talked a lot about music, though.
A lot?
We did.
It's true.
She's like, I'm fucking done, bro.
I feel like mostly it was about...
Music.
Music.
I love it. She,
maybe,
she did
maybe,
a name drop.
Maybe I'm just too fucked up. I am. It was mostly about music, but I'm also very... drunk, and it's
honestly that's even possible.
And it's very much about music.
All right, you know,
I love you so much. Okay, well. You're so awesome. You're like motherfucker.
I tried.
Outro the fuck out.
Can we outro?
I mean, you know, I feel like
I'm ready to pass out.
Okay, well,
I am ham boned.
Ham boned.
Ham boned.
Like, ham bone, like...
No, would you...
Yes.
That's a ham bone. All right.
I'm ham boned.
I don't know what that means.
Why? What do you got? What do you
I'm
got
ready
for
to
us?
Pass out. What do you have? Let's
looks
go
looks like
first.
You got
what
some
do you want?
Laid off.
You're ready. It looks like you're ready for some new ass shit.
I'm not ready for any new ass shit. I was trying to ask you if you knew what that track was, but it's
nah,
okay.
No, fuck that.
I was just going to go back to Glenn Danzig.
Your girl's done.
Yeah, if we're going
to girl is
you're gonna
done.
Outro
the girl's
on a
done.
Fucking buzzed, amazing night with the new fucking homie on the mic.
XR
by,
is
by homie,
done.
The new XR.
Balls to the wall. The
XR homie, is XR, more than happy to come back.
Homie millennial.
Yeah. Oh, no.
XR is coming back, and we are going to... wrap it up with a little
one of the most operatic, amazing.
Well, you
fucking...
know what, listeners, thank you for tuning in. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing
because
you are like, laughing.
That was the laugh. He burped.
No.
I appreciate.
Okay,
if that's your
burp, then I'm sorry. That's a really condescending burp.
Show.
But if you're tuning in, I appreciate your listening. And so does Polynesius. Ignatius Palafox.
Okay.
And Lowe's Bar.
I do. I appreciate it a lot.
And so does XR.
All right.
XR.
Yeah.
Live and live from Pacifica, California.
San Francisco, California.
Pacifica.
Live and unlive from San Francisco, California. This is Ignatius Palafox with
The Low Spark
and
XR
signing off.